Let's try it again, and we're off and running. Finally got the Bluetooth mic to work. I always have such a hard time. Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And what has happened lately? I've gotten a lot of DCBS material because of the weather fiasco where they didn't ship the Marvel or Independence for a week or 2 weeks. Zach, they missed a week, and then they were behind a week, and now I got two shipments. One box was 45 pounds, which is pretty heavy. It had two omnibuy given, but there was a lot of material in that thing. It was really heavy. And then I got another one today. Matter of fact, my wife was like, "You got more comics?" And I'm like, "Well, they're catching up, you know?" And I went to the comic book store today, and since COVID, like, he's been pretty busy. Like, every time I go, like, I usually go on a Thursday or a Friday. It used to be just me in the store, and now he's got people and they're buying stuff. So, you know, whether it's pops or whether it's card games or comic books, he's got quite the number of people going in there. And today I helped him because I got out of work fairly early, around 3 o'clock, and it's a Friday, and he was pulling the DC books, you know, getting them ready for, because he got them ready for next week. And the way he does it is, he has the list. He like prints out a list of everybody's box, and they either have like a box number or a last name. And I helped him because I wasn't pulling the books, but I was reading off the numbers on the title for him. So if we were going like Batman Black and White, I'd go box one, box five, box, you know, just keep reading off the numbers like that. And it was kind of fun. And I was kind of interesting seeing like the patterns of the people that he had, like what they were pulling. Are they getting both Batman covers? Are they getting both Detective? You know, and some of them were, and some of them were just getting cover Bs. And it was interesting seeing the patterns. And I thought he had a very good pull list for certain books, like. They were pretty well distributed, at least for DC. There was always like at least 25 pulls per DC title. And I don't know if it's because DC's trimming down and there wasn't anything like really weird coming out, but everything seemed pretty steady. And what I mean by that is like everybody was at least 25 pulls per title. And you know, obviously like Detective and Batman Black and White had some pretty big pulls, and so did the white what is it called? I can't even think of it. It's not Batman. Oh, Batman White Knight Harlequins were pretty high pulls. So yeah. And then you had Teen Titans Academy, which had quite a few pulls, and there was a lot of pulls. There's a lot more than I expected. And it's kind of like the first time I helped him with that. And I was going through seeing what he had on the wall, like in terms of variant covers. And I saw that he had like a Magic, you know, the Magic: The Gathering book that's coming from Boom. It might have dropped today or this week. But he had this book from 2 weeks ago, and I was eyeing it because it's a one per store exclusive. And this was a one per store Ashcan exclusive, and I kind of like looked it up on eBay to see if I was even in the eBay realm, because you go on eBay and it was like $49.99, or the cheapest I saw it was $39.99 plus shipping. And he sold it to me for $29.99. He came down 10. So I kind of was happy to pick that up. And then I got a Thor 1 in 25 and a couple other things that came in. A Peach Momoko Ultraman, which I still gotta dig in to see if I even like that. I did pick two books from him because I was trying to hit the what do you call it, 50% threshold for back issues, and then you needed to get like 11 titles or more. So I threw in titles that I knew I wasn't getting from DCBS, like Warhammer and Ultraman, and just a couple other things like Nonstop Spider-Man, and that was a really good one, by the way, Nonstop Spider-Man. I thought it was the only thing about Bacallo art, and I don't know if other people have a hard time with Bacallo artwork, is some panels just look like fantastic, and others, like in an action scene, I can't tell what the fuck is going on. But overall, I like his art. I get confused by it. And but it was fun, and I did read Peach Momoko's Demon Days. I thought she did a fantastic job. She wrote and drew it. And what it is it's like a Japanese, it's like a Japanese fable with Marvel characters, but they're like the Hulk is a demon and the Venom is a snake, and it's like some kind of like Japanese fable with characters that we all know, and it turns out to be pretty doggone interesting. Like I really enjoyed what I've read so far, and I just wish it wasn't so far between issues, and I hope. I don't even know if like she's doing all of them. I wouldn't know. I just know that she spends a lot of time on cover art. She draws a lot of covers, an incredible amount of covers. And but I was listening to on the I took Harley for two walks today, believe it or not, because yesterday she didn't get one because I had to be at work at 7 a.m. and I couldn't get out to take her beyond that because it gets still dark because we fast forwarded our clocks. And I worked a long ass day. It was like 11-hour day. And that's the one thing that I've learned is you go in early, you stay the same time. So I usually go in later and then leave. Yeah, I still leave late, but it's not like that. But anyway, we went for these long walks, and I put on, I finished listening to the Bright Side Chat, which is my favorite podcast that drops every Thursday. And I always stop what I'm doing with my podcasts and listen to that one. Like the other podcasts, I'll listen from start to finish. But with the Bright Side one, I sort of like drop what I'm doing and then jump on that one and then come doing that. And then I listened to that, which was it's always a fun show. They're doing video stuff now, and I'm really not into that. But like some people know how to do that video right, and some people don't. And what I mean by that is sometimes they cater to video and then the audio sucks. And for me, I don't want to watch a video. I really don't. I don't want to watch a YouTube. I like to listen to podcasts when I'm walking or exercising or doing stuff where I'm not in front of a TV or a screen. And I was worried that they were going to go to a YouTube format, but I don't even know they're on YouTube other than sometimes they reference like a cover image or there. But I try to listen to that Kayfabe podcast, and like without the audio visuals on that podcast, it does not listen well. Like it's such good material if you want to watch the video, but yeah, I couldn't take it. So I dropped that one, and I was kind of concerned for this one because I really don't like the YouTube stuff. And I don't understand the appeal. Like I go look at the downloads for some of these guys, and they have like 10, and it's like, what? Why would you put yourself through that if you get 10 downloads or 10 views? And you do an audio, you'll get a lot more probably. I don't get it. Like my previous co-host, Heath Holland, he does a very successful video cast called Serial at Midnight. He was my Geek Brunch. We formed Geek Brunch together. I met him at one of the, I think it was the Geek Brunch, not Geek Brunch, the Comic Geek Speak forums. And I can't remember the forum that it was under. It wasn't the Comic Geek Speak forum, it was another podcast. But we started talking about there, and I liked him. I said, "Can we do a podcast?" Because I had put out some solo podcasts with Rocky Mountain Comic Book Noise. That was my first attempt, and then I did Geek Brunch. And Geek Brunch, we hit it off, and then things started to change in his life, and he left. And that's when Micah and Bill came, and then Micah left, and then, well, actually, Micah went for a student exchange program to Japan. And when he came back, his life had changed. So he sort of dropped off at Geek Brunch, and then it was just me and Bill. And our podcast became longer because, man, me and Bill can talk. Like, we could talk for hours. I don't. He truly is a brother from another mother. Like, I just can't believe how fast time goes by when we're just chatting. And it is one of the podcasts that has no format, and it's sort of like chatting, like with your best friend on the phone. Like all my other podcasts, they have some kind of like loose format. Like Retrocast, we pick books to review and we go over them. And DC Spotlight's much the same thing. We'll look at an older book and two newer books. And Mike M's is kind of like stream of consciousness, which is easiest to do. The back part isn't that easy because I have to write all that shit down. I have to remember what I read if I took shitty notes. But that's a pretty easy one to do. And then the other one, DC Everything Else, is structured in the fact that we cover DC books that are non superhero books, and we kind of pick one, at least one book each. There's four of us on a good day. Most of the time it's three, and some of the time it's two, but we go over books. But Geek Brunch is, even though we kind of have a format in that we talk to each other during the week, and we kind of say, well, you know, we should add this to the list and add this to the list. And I think it's fun to cover the same book. Like, it just makes for discussion. Like, there's some things that Bill sees that I didn't see, and there's some things that I see that he didn't see. And then it just makes, like, sometimes there was a book that I rated a 3 out of 5, and just talking to him made me make it a 4 out of 5 because I'm like, I didn't see that. And I like his optimism that he has because he loves to read comics as much as I do. It's an obsession. But as far as getting issues, I haven't gotten a lot of back issues. I have one coming from Aaron Myers, but I haven't pulled the trigger on it yet. But I will soon. And I'm holding back on my next My Comic Shop just so I could get the living room under control before Barb kills me. Have to make another trip to the storage unit this week. But the other thing I got was I finally pulled the trigger on those Mortal Kombat Spawns. I got the Spawn figure with the battle. It's not an axe, it's sort of like a club with spikes on it. And then I got Spawn Blood Fury, feud, Hunter, which is kind of like a bladdered, a plattered. Now you didn't get pissed on. He's kind of a blood splattered looking spawn with a hatchet and or battle axe, however you want to say it. And they just looked wonderful. And then I pre-ordered the Spawn 12-inch Commando Spawn. But I God, I love toys. I wish I just had the space. Man, I wish I had a house that was like 3 times bigger. Not be because I need it, but I do need it to like display all the shit that I want and keep it close, 'cause I love to have it near me rather than apart from me, 'cause it feels like an extension of me. That sounds weird, but that's how I love my comics. And what else did I get? I picked up today some Batman issues. Mike missing Batman. Yeah, there's a couple of minis that I skipped out on. There's a series called Batman Scratch, and it was written and drawn by Sam Keith. And I had talked about this on previous episodes. I didn't used to be a Sam Keith fan, and I don't know what's changed, but I absolutely love and adore Sam Keith artwork now. So I, and plus it made me curious, like, do you ever listen to a podcast and somebody says something is so bad that it makes you want to read it for yourself? That happens to me a lot. More so because I usually find out that what they don't like, I like. I don't understand all the hate in the world. I just don't get it. People really get angry about comic books, and I freaking don't get it. It's such a wonderful thing. Like, just let go and loosen up your sphincter a little bit, man. I just having said that, on the TV side, I finished Money Heist, and I thought it was going to end with season 4, and it didn't. It left me hanging, and there's coming a season 5. But Money Heist has been one of the best series that nobody I know is watching that I can't talk to nobody about. And you're just exploding. Like, I got it so good that you just want to talk about it. And it's one of those things that I wish it was something that me and my wife watched together, because I could talk about it all a lot, probably to the point of driving her crazy. But I loved Money Heist, and we did watch the WandaVision together, and enjoyed that. I thought it was good. I thought it caused too much speculation, like unwarranted speculation, which disappointed a lot of people. But I also think when they did an introduction to something that they dropped the ball on it, because I think they could have used it to sort of bring in other characters and sort of say they're part of the Marvel U now, and they didn't do that. And I think that opportunity was like a missed opportunity, because I think fans would have just gone ballistic. They went ballistic with the appearance, but then what it turned out to be, I don't think they were happy with. I was okay with it. Like, you're not gonna like kill me with entertainment, like make me all disappointed. But I was sort of let down that opportunity to link in another part of a cinematic universe was sort of dropped. I really wish it happened. And then Justice League dropped, and I try to filter out almost everybody. Like, it doesn't work very good. I'm not impressed with Twitter filters. I basically checked all kinds of boxes, which means I wasn't seeing tweets from a bunch of people. And I put a bunch of keywords in the filter, so anything with those keywords I couldn't see on my timeline. But I don't think it works that great. Like, so I'm subscribed to HBO Max, and things started showing up, even though I had in my keywords, yes, I follow HBO Max, but I would think it would like filter out HBO items on there, like if HBO showed up, at least until I can un disable, like as soon as I get see Snyder's cut, and I haven't seen it yet, but I will remove those things. But I don't think they worked very well to begin with. But yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. And then last but not least, I was listening to the comic book page. I the only time I listen to the comic book page anymore is the preview spotlight. There's a couple of guys on there that I really like their optimism, especially Dr. Moe. I really think he's in my wheelhouse of all the people that put in clips. And I was listening to their they changed the format during COVID. Like they had a weekly comic spotlight and then went to monthly. And I was listening to their monthly comics. And just listening to them kind of made me sad because they were so down on the industry. I came across as like, I don't want to listen to this anymore. I listened to this one and just came out, and I was like, nah, it's not for me. Like I sometimes wonder why they read comics. I don't know. They like very few, like they could count on their hand like five from each publisher, out of everything they read that they really like. And I was just like, how could you? I mean, you could trim the fat and just read the five, but I don't see it. Like I find enjoyment in everything I read, even if it's a 3 out of 5. Like, there might be a panel that just looks amazing, and the story's bad, but the art is good. Or a 3 out of 5 means, I liked it. But yeah, I don't know. It kind of bummed me out. So that's where I am with podcasts, and sort of, I don't have much back issues other than. Did I get a big? Where did I get that last shipment of comics? Oh, I did get that big My Comic Shop, but I think I mentioned that in my last Mike M's, so I'm not going to go over the content that was in that big order. And today, like I said, I just picked up those issues of Scratch, and I wasn't even looking for back issues. I just saw them. Like sometimes there's a box open and I see something like a cover, and I'm like, you know what? I don't have that. And then I look and see what else is there. And I was like, he has w 4 issues of the 5. I might as well get it. And Vince B didn't like it at all. And it made me curious. So if that tells you about like why I like to read comics people I hate. And I don't listen to anybody. I really don't when it comes to comics. Not even Bill, like who I trust the most. Like if Bill says I'll like it, chances are I'll like it. But if he doesn't like something, that d never means that I won't. So I like to judge for myself when I can, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to do that most of the time. So yeah, the water heater busted in. That was an it basically took my bonus money that I got some bonus money for the year. And not the government bonus money, but from work. I got, some bonus, and I didn't like have it planned for anything. I was hoping that that would help paint the house because we got to get the house painted. But the water heater gave out, and we had to have it replaced. So that sucks. But at least the guy went down there. And he goes, there's a big shop in town I haven't been to, but it's pretty big in terms of, I don't know what it looks like on the inside, but it's called Vans. And I think there's a lot of gaming in there. Oh, I'm sorry, I better pick up this. Hello? What? That was my brother. And we talked a lot longer than I thought. He was looking for COVID shots for me, 'cause my brother's 3 years younger than me, and he already got his shot. But he's been hounding, like he's been like spending a lot of time like looking at various places and finding things. And I haven't been as proactive to try to. I kind of go sign up. I find out there's something to sign up for. I sign up. I find another site to sign up. I sign up. But he like is looking at like pharmacies. Do you have a spot? Do you have a spot? It's like a crazy game to get your COVID shot. And like I still have relatives that are in their 70s that haven't gotten one, and they try, but they're not like. Because they're older, they're not like internet savvy, so it's not friendly to the non-internet savvy. Whereas my brother's pretty internet savvy, and he's looking. But yeah, I've been trying to get a shot, and hopefully, my goal is to have it sometime in April, 'cause I'll have to travel for business and I want to have it at least, that 14-day window before the travel. So I hope it all works out. 'Cause then if I don't, then I just have to be super. I'm gonna be super careful anyway. I have my N95 mask to go on the plane, and I have tons of masks to take with me. But the N95 at least protects you both ways, so. There is that. They're just uncomfortable and hot as fuck. I wore one time and holy shit, they're uncomfortable. And the cloth ones I wear the three layers, so you get a little bit more protection. So if I sneeze, I don't spray everybody, and then I think it'll protect me a little bit more than a normal one tier cloth mask. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my shot. And I forgot what I was talking about, but I do have a couple questions to talk about before I wrap up here. And I think I saved them under bookmarks on Twitter. Yeah, Dallo Spicer sent some questions. I polled, I didn't get a lot, but at least Dallo came through. Dallo says, you've said you don't need books in perfect condition, but what damage would you need to occur before your OCD kicks in and you need to buy a replacement copy? I spilling on a book, would you replace it? Yes. If I spill on a book, I'll probably replace it. Almost immediately. I hate water damage. That's my big pet peeve. I don't like water damage. I don't like it at all. But there might be like some book that I don't like. If it's a Valiant or DC, I'll probably replace it. If it's something else that I don't find that I enjoy, but it's not critical. And depending on the water damage, like if it's a big, like if I dropped water, like a glass of water on it, I'd probably replace it, like regardless. And he says, for me, it depends on the book, and I would say the same thing applies to me. And he says, this question is for modern books. Yeah, because for some older books that could be quite expensive, that replacement might not be an option. If I dropped it on my Batman number three, that would not be a good thing. I don't think I'd ever get a replacement. But that is what it is. Have you ever heard about these lemon crisp Kit Kat? Barb brought some of these home, and they're so damn good, man. They're so good. But anyway, that was a good question. And then I got another question that wasn't for the show, but it was from Glenn Clark on Twitter, and not necessarily a. It was a question based on my collectability of Mylar and using Mylar comics, Mylar bags, and the halfback boards or the full back boards. And he was surprised by my answer. And I guess I'm a little. I don't care, but he was surprised because I didn't care. He asked what kind of Scotch tape do I use to tape them? And I use, personally, I get like the Scotch invisible tape. But the downside of that tape is when you open it, it splits right in the middle. But I kind of like it because I have to retape it. And if you're not careful, you could do tape damage by taking the book out or in and having that tape still intact. So, by having this breakaway tape that tapes, yeah, you might have like several layers of tapes on the back of the bag, but nobody sees the back of the bag. I don't give a shit. It's the front of the bag that matters. So, that's my answer to that too. It's kind of related. The other question he asked is, top three books you got as absolute bargains at cover price dollar bins that later rocket in value. I don't have a lot of dollar bins. And the stuff that I usually find in dollar bins, because I have so much Marvel and DC, I don't usually go after Marvel and DC unless I know I absolutely have it. It's usually stuff that nobody gives a shit about, and it doesn't go up in value. Or if a cover strikes me, I don't think I've ever got a book in a dollar bin that has got up in value, because most of the books that when you buy everything off the rack, the chances of you having it is there. So when you go to the dollar bin and you see all the shit you already own, I tend to look for indies that I missed out on, or Kamiko or Eclipse or any of those books that I might have missed that aren't worth anything and nobody gives a shit about. I just want them in my collection. So I haven't had anything like rocket in value, especially from a dollar bin, if that's your question. Your next question is the top three books you passed on when released, but later had to buy at a premium. I don't think that's happened a lot, but I can name several Spawn books because I did drop Spawn back then. Like, that was the worst mistake ever because Spawn never goes down, man. And especially around the low print runs when people weren't buying it. So, yeah, I still am working on that. I have about 15 issues, but I might have to drop like $60 to $100 per one of those issues in that range that I'm needing. So, yeah, I regret that. I can't think of anything else that comes to mind. I do regret not buying certain books. Like, I had an opportunity to buy Green Lantern 1 and 2, and I didn't. And they were at incredible rates, great condition, but I would have had to drop, $1,000, and I just couldn't do it at the time. I could have, but it would have taking a phone call to Barb and saying, "Barb, I'm going to do this," but I didn't. But I wish I did. In the case of those early Green Lanterns, I could have got like 1 through 5, and that's kind of almost like what I'm missing. But let's see what else. I know there's been some books that I had to acquire later, but usually it's because I accidentally miss them, not intentionally. In other words, when I go to DCBS and click things, sometimes I forget, and it's usually like an obscure publisher. As I'm going through the publishers, it's usually one I don't go to all the time. Like, I don't usually miss Vault. I don't usually miss like Zenoscope, or definitely don't miss Marvel or DC or Valiant or AWA or Ahoy. But there's some companies that sometimes I get into and I forget to click on them, like Floating World, or the one that burned me recently was Behemoth. Although it didn't cost me a lot to get it, there was one book that was hot. It was their worst book, in my opinion. But I'm all in on Behemoth, but I forgot it 1 month for some reason. I didn't click on Behemoth, and I missed out on a vampire book. I forget what it's called, and I had to drop 20 on it. And it was, I think, a $5.99 book, if I remember correctly. But yeah, that one happened recently. But I think the Spawns, and then the Savage Dragons, I think I had to get a few that, but they weren't as high priced to make me regret having to get them. But I have a full run of all the Savage Dragons now. I can't think of anything that fits in the, else that fits into that category besides like the Floating Worlds and the that I accidentally missed ordering, like issue 2, or 3 or something like that. Can't think of any recently, but I can think of a lot of Spawns that I discontinued because at the time I was trying to be reasonable with my collecting, and I was like, you know what? I'm not enjoying Spawn. And now I'm like, what the fuck's the matter with you? That was the best run of Spawn that's been happening. Like, a lot of people are digging Spawn now, but I prefer when it was more like the X-Files, like non-action. It's weird. And had all these plot character threads, and now that they're having all this action with Spawn and all the different Gunslinger Spawn and She Spawn and Commando Spawn and Medieval Spawn and Monolith and King Spawn and all these different Spawns. People are digging that, but in terms of content, like it's great to see like a great fight scene and stuff like that, and have these like artistic renditions that look amazing. But it's another thing when you got this convoluted plot that I tend to navigate to, that has so much substance that when I finish it, I'm like thinking about it, and I'm like thinking about like what's gonna happen next issue. I kind of like that more. And those are a lot of the Spawns I missed out on, and a lot of them were homage covers, which makes the matter worse. Like there's one that I'm missing that was a homage to the McFarlane cover that he did for Hulk, where it had like Wolverine and then the reflection of the Hulk was in the claws. Well, there was one that he did for Spawn where Spawn had the claws, I think, and Violator was in the clown was in the reflection of the claws. So yeah, there is that. So thank you for the questions, and I think boom boom chow. See, somebody got that. Martin is the one that turned me on to La Casa Papel, which is Money Heist. It's a show from Spain, and I just typed boom boom chow and I was like, I just dig this show so much. Oh gosh. And Falcon and Winter Soldier's out today. We'll probably watch that and then cut back to the Justice League. Because I've seen the Justice League and it's so long, 4 hours. The first chapter was really good. Like I like the additions because it sort of adds into like the mother box scenarios, so I liked it. I liked some of the additional scenes with some of the supporting characters. And yeah, we'll see where it goes the rest of it, but there were quite the number of ads that weren't there before. The weirdest one that I thought of, and I don't think this is spoiling anything because it's so ridiculous. I don't understand it. I can understand why they cut it, but it's sort of like when Batman goes to try to recruit Aquaman, and as Bruce and Arthur, he's talking to him in that pub, and as they go outside, he's like, "No, nah, I don't want to join you, you crazy Batman. This is wild." And then he goes, takes off his shirt, goes into the ocean. Well, this isn't a spoiler because who cares? But there's a woman that there's a group of women actually, and they also that whole like land that Aquaman hangs out with, they sort of like worship him. But this one woman goes and grabs his like shirt that he just took off before he goes in the ocean, and she grabs it, she takes a huge whiff of it, and she goes, ah, and then starts singing. And I'm like, that's pretty funny. I thought it was enjoyable, but weird. Oh God. Well, I need to get to the weekly reads now, and I don't even know where I left off. I'm having a lot of weird spikes on the audio, which means that I'm either laughing weird or what, but I don't know, it's weird. Let's see if I can find where I left off. And I think I'll probably get in only 1 week. I thought I like put a stopping point on the last one, 'cause let's see where I left off. Yeah, I better pause because I don't know where I left off. I'll have to go look at my actually the easiest route is to go to my own Geek Brunch podcast. Geek Brunch podcast. And I just got a text. It's my wife. I better answer that. So I'm going to pause. So here we go. Pause. All right, I'm back. And this is for the week of January 11th, 2020 to January 17th, 2021. That week we had a total of 20 comics, not too good, and one watched a lot of Punisher that week on the not Netflix, not the movies, but the TV show season one. And we'll start with the comics and then work our way up. But no, we'll start with the TV show. I gave Punisher a 5 out of 5. I thought that show was really good, and it was a great exercise show because I always forgot I was exercising, and that's always a good thing. And I was so into it that, like, let's say I got off after 30 minutes, and if it ended on a cliffhanger of where I was at, I would immediately go into the next episode for, 5, 10 more minutes just so I could see the resolution before I get ready for work. So yeah, I really enjoyed Punisher. I thought they did a phenomenal job with Mike Micro and the plot of and the conspiracy theories, and I mean not really conspiracy theories, but the bad deals that he was a part of. I'm gonna pause again because that's fine. Okay, I'm back. I think I was just talking about the Punisher, and then we had 9 Image Comics, 10 DC, and 1 Aftershock. We'll start at the bottom with the 4 out of 5s. There were no 3 out of 5s, but I didn't read a lot that week. I read Piecemeal number 1. This was a Cullen Bunn Aftershock story. It was magazine-sized graphic novel start cover. It looked very much like a Black Label book that's oversized. She wants me to order Dion's. So I gotta pay attention because I have to place the order. This is a group of high school kids find a brain in the jar of a serial killer in an old house. The brain manifests to kill other kids, and until the old grandpa helps his grandson, which is one of the kids that finds the brain, understand what he's up against. It turns out that that was a killer, and his grandfather helped put him away and hide the brain. The young kid destroys the brain and manages to save only one of his friends. All the other friends are massacred. So it's like a horror book. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. It had Simon Sismon Krajinski. We've been talking a lot about Spawn, and he did the art. And I have talked about his art not being like it's too photorealistic and static initially, but man, did his art grow on me as I read Spawn. Like it just grew on me. So he did the art, and then I had Shazam from DC Comics. This is the latest Geoff Johns written Shazam series, number 7 through 15. This is the Shazam family dealing with the different magical lands. And Billy reunited with CC, his father, CC Batson. He looks just like Shazam, coincidentally, and gives his father the power. Like he trusts his father. You learn his father is not really a good person later on, because but he appears to be good because CC is being controlled by Mr. Mind. And Mr. Mind forms the Monster Society of Evil to reunite the magical lands on Earth and be the ruler of those lands. Shazam loses faith in Billy. This is the wizard Shazam. Black Adam and Billy manage to work together with the Shazam family to defeat the Monster Society of Evil and then have a final confrontation with Superboy Prime. That was pretty badass. They manage to defeat him with the lightning by saying Shazam together, and that's Black Adam and Shazam, Billy Batson. Black Adam almost dies during the process, and then in the future, it shows the 7th members of the Shazam family. They were looking for the 7th member, and they thought it was going to be Billy's father, CC, and CC turns out he was a real jackass. Like once Mr. Mind lost control of CC, he went to his evil ways and he just wanted to abandon his son. Like he didn't give a shit about him, and he wanted to leave, which was just very disappointing. So he disowns Billy once again, at the end. But the Black Adam turning good thing, that was pretty badass. I liked it, at least for this. And then it shows him in the future as the 7th seat in the Shazam family, which is really interesting. He's going to be in the Justice League, so we'll see where that goes. We got Spawn 313. This is the new series I was talking about, because it has Spawn and Overkill. If you read Spawn back in the day, you'll know who Overkill was. He actually had an action figure. I have the original Overkill action figure in my basement. Spawn and Overkill go after a new spawn called Monolith, and I talked briefly about Monolith. Really cool design of Monolith. He looks like a Hulk spawn. He just looks huge, muscles everywhere. And the design, the character design is looks awesome. So it's almost like where Todd's taking it now, which is sort of seems like he's building that Spawn universe so he can launch the line, the Spawn universe line. But it has Gunslinger Spawn gets on a motorcycle that was given to him by Jessica. And Jessica, I have her first appearance too. That's she Spawn. Jessica Priest, I think, is her name. But does not want her help going after Cog. So he's going after Cog. The Gunslinger Spawn is, because he had a run-in with the Redeemer and some like angels from hell or dark demons. And he just dealt with these dark angels that the Redeemer had sent after him, and now he's gonna go back. So that was Spawn 313. We have Spawn 242 through 243. This is Sarah confronts Jim Downing, who Jim Downing is Spawn in the early issues, I think going up to issue 250. And I think he was Spawn for quite some time, like 50 issues of Spawn, and I really like Jim Downing because this is where the X-Files shit was happening. Jim Downing is later captured by the clown on his way out of the building. Meanwhile, the Vampire Alliance has run in with the Redeemer and he slaughters a bunch of them. He has a run-in. The Vampire Alliance gets slaughtered by the Redeemer. Twitch apologizes to Sam about his hospital stay and blames himself for the injuries because of the clown. So the clown actually was responsible for putting Sam in the hospital, but Twitch feels responsible. Twitch confronted by Spawn as he tries to find Sarah. Sarah is sort of the love interest of Jim Downing. Spawn finds the clown and battles him. And the clown tells him she's dead. Such a good issue. We then get into the five out of fives. We have Hawkman 29. I almost said 2099. Hawkman number 29. The Hawks deal with the confrontation with the version of Hathset. This is the final issue of the Venditti run. Hawkman almost dies, but his anger gets him through this issue, and Hawkman and Hawkgirl are victorious, and we manage to see them in the 40th century as very old lovers, kind of like a happy ending and a future thing, which is kind of the irony of it is it kind of led into Future State, and it's kind of showing you the future of Hawkman, which is interesting to me. We then have the Reckless graphic novel by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips and his son. Reckless is a former FBI agent that has to go undercover to stop a group that was bombing things in the 70s. Later, a former lover hire him to find a guy that took her money for a bank robbery heist. She is killed later on. And Reckless has to find out who killed her. The issue is she sort of killed herself. The guy who killed her, if I remember correctly, was her brother, and she was dying of cancer anyway. So they kind of set up Reckless, which is interesting. And there are going to be more Reckless graphic novels. I gave it a 5 out of 5 from Image Comics. Did I even claim that one? I should have. Yeah, 9 Image. Savage Dragon 256. Malcolm comes out of his coma and is reading the last issue to remember what happened. That's so like fourth world. Like he's reading his own comic to find out what happened out of his coma. Mako's blood is transferred to a serial killer and almost kills Paul, the Savage Dragon. That's the Savage Dragon of the multiverse that has the small fin, that has the original Savage Dragon memories, and he has a lot of memories from Savage Dragon from the multiverse. It is Christmas time, and Malcolm wants to spend time with the kids, so Paul goes after Mako, but does not know it is not Mako. Like, he doesn't know a serial killer's in the body of Mako. Like, he used the blood to transform him into this Mako-looking character. Mako almost kills Paul. Dragon and Maxine have some incredible super sperm sex. A matter of fact, he comes, and it's such a cum explosion that she like launches off of his body and hits the ceiling. That's how big it is. That's Barb probably telling me I better order this pizza. So I better see what if that's true. But I can't see it. Okay. So she wants a pizza from Dion's with pepperoni and green chili. And I'm gonna get a turkey and Swiss with green chili. Not pizza, but a sub. So I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. A lot of interruptions today. Place the order. And I was just talking about Hawkman, Reckless, and Savage Dragon. And then I get into Spawn 244 through 247. So this is continuing the Jim Downing stuff. That was 5 out of 5. Absolutely love this. I read these digitally because these are the issues that I was talking about that I didn't have. But the clown took Sarah into the black space, and Jim has to go there to rescue her. And the black space is kind of like this place between heaven and hell, and there's like no light. And it was probably the best digital reading experience I have ever had in panel mode. I actually felt stressed out because you'd go like you'd swipe a panel and it's like totally black. And then you'd see a little light, like Spawn's face. And then you could. It was crazy. It was a crazy experience. As Jim has to go to rescue Sarah in the dark space. The next issue dealt with Sarah waking up naked next to Jim and thinking they had sex. Jim reveals that he's Spawn to Mark. Sarah is now possessed by an entity that was picked up from the black space. And Jim goes to talk with her, and she tries to kill him. So she's kind of like looking like a possessed person, like the Exorcist type possessed, and tries to kill him. Jim saves her, but then she is in a coma. So the irony of that is she was there with Jim when he was in a coma watching her. Now Jim is watching her in a coma, and he loves her. He really does. It deals with Sarah in the coma and Jim seeking to get out of the coma, get her out of the coma, and Mark's girlfriend, who's sort of he's running the company that Jim founded, Jim Downing, and he's also Jim's sort of best friend, but Mark's girlfriend and friend to Jim, you learn that she's a demon. It was fucking crazy. It was really good. But I think I'm going to wrap up there and leave a little marker in here saying that I finished. And we'll continue next time with the rest of January. So I want to thank you for listening. You've been listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. Thank you for your patience with all the pauses. I might edit a few of them out. Even though I paused it, paused the recording and came back to the recording, I had some weird sesh recording in there. But I'll probably release it as is because I'm the laziest fucking podcaster there is when it comes to editing. So thank you for listening. You can get this at the Geek Brunch Podcast at geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can find us at Facebook at Geek Gunch Podcast. Click the like button. We'd like you over there. Come visit. Talk to us. And also on Twitter, you can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch. That's a good place to contact me. I like feedback. I like to talk to you. And finally, if you want to send me some mail, you can send it at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can catch my other podcasts on this feed, Geek Brunch Retrocast, Geek Brunch Podcast, and DC Spotlight and DC everything else on the DC Noise Podcast.com site. So I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Bye.